big rocks and all that sort of thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dedicated followers and fans. I think that's the word. Welcome to the Mick Wall podcast. Starring,
yes.
The one and only, him at the crease, him with the balls in his hands, him with the mighty oak bat. Are they made of oak or willow?
Willow.
That's what I'm, yes. Yeah. Willow.
Same difference.
It's a tree.
Yeah.
It's wood.
Same thing, man.
Yeah, it's adjacent. It's willow adjacent.
Yeah.
So anyway, John.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Oh, it's all right. Yeah.
Right, so after look, John, what are we kicking off with?
Well, I could do an update, if you like.
Well, listen, I'll tell you what, before you do your update...
Oh, so we're not kicking off with that?
No.
You knew what you wanted to kick off with.
Did I?
You threw it. Well, you obviously did, because you threw it to me. I said, I've got an update. You said, well, let's leave that. I've got...
Do you know what? You're absolutely right. John, please, take it away.
Oh, okay. Well, we're doing it now.
Yeah, well, apparently. Yeah. Mm. I don't want you to, you know, throw a hissy
well,
fit.
Well, my update, Mick, interestingly enough, is about a pod we did, I think it went out a couple of weeks ago now, because I never know the order in which you're going to release these things.
No, well, no one knows until the day.
You're a bit like a sort of erratic... reissuer guy who buys up catalogues, you know, and they release sort of the second four.
No, God bless you, God bless you. No. In the actuality, there's enormous strategy involved in that thinking, you see.
Well, for whatever
and it's to keep people on edge.
Idea.
Keep you on the edge of your seat.
You decided a couple of weeks ago to release the one we did about Shot in the Dark, the Aussie song.
Yes.
In which various... theories were put forward about the...
What, you mean the people that actually wrote it as opposed to the guy that got the money?
No, well, I mean, Aussie got the money. I think we established that, didn't
we?
Yeah, and
only made it a hit, fair play.
Yeah,
he did.
Aussie got some of the money, I'm sure. Probably. We don't... Let's
we
be
don't
honest.
Know. We don't know.
If you look at the listing, this is a... And I'm doing the inverted commas with my fingers. This is a comedy podcast. It gets put in the comedy section.
You are so paranoid about being sued, aren't you?
Yeah, because you come out... What you do is you say things that you have no idea whether they're true or not, and you just state them as if they're facts. But what I'm saying is the readers understand that they're not facts. They're just your stupid off the top of your head opinions.
I feel we're into a grey area. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fact in my fiction possibly some fiction in my fact.
Yeah.
That's the modern world, Johnny. Yeah.
So when you blithely state, we know who got the money for Shot in the Dark, as you love to say,
yeah,
we don't know who got the money.
Well, we know who didn't get the money, don't we?
Well, we do. We know this. The Overland Brothers didn't get any
money.
Well,
I'll let you say that, John. So I wouldn't say that. But
here's the thing. So we had a podcast, and it was about the Ozzy Osbourne 1986 hit, Shot in the Dark, and its creation, which it turned out came from a band. Still won't remember what they're called. Go back and listen to the podcast. They're either called Wildlife or Wildfire. It's one of the two.
They seem to be called both, didn't they? Called
both by me.
If you go online...
Oh, are they also called Wildfire Online?
Yeah, that clip we played of the original demo...
Yeah, it was Wildlife.
I think Ozzy was out getting a coffee that day. Yeah. But the original demo, it says like Wildfire on YouTube.
Does it?
Anyway, yeah.
Okay.
Well, it did anyway.
Yeah. Well, anyway, whatever they were called. And in that band were Simon Kirk of...
Bad Company,
Bad Co.
Free.
Yeah, so big name drummer. They had...
and whose daughter, Jessica Kirk, was the hot stuff in that programme, Girls, with... did you ever see it? Lena Dunham?
Oh, yes, I do. I never saw it. I don't know what you mean.
Jessica Kirk was in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're making a funny sort of old man face then.
Well, she was very floaty.
Yeah, a bit like Benny Hill, aren't you? Captain Scuffle.
Yeah. Jessica Kirk was in Girls by Lena Dunham. That probably means nothing. Yeah. That's just artistic expression.
Exactly.
If you have a poison mind and you read into that,
yeah,
and then Google Jessica Kirk from those days. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, go on, Simon Kirk. Yes, sir.
Making up the rest of the rhythm section was Phil Soussan, okay, who was later in Ozzy's band. And then
I discovered Phil Soussan.
And he was in loads of other great bands as well. He went on to Billy Idol, but he was also in this band that I really like called Beggars and Thieves.
I don't know
if you remember, but they were really good. They only did about one album, I think. Went by the wayside, probably a grunge thing, you know, because it was around the early 90s time.
Right.
He was in Beggars and Thieves, lots of other things. So Phil Soussan. Then from the wilds of the backwaters of AOR, Steve and Chris Overland, not yet famous, not yet in FM, were in Wildlife Stroke Wildfire.
They're still not famous, are they? Or? FM, obviously.
FM are famous-ish. Yeah. And going even further back than us talking about Shot in the Dark, it all came about because Chris Overland suddenly passed away and we had been discussing
FM. That's right, sadly.
Anyway, long story short, I saw on YouTube.
Very much on you, this one, John.
Thousands of other people had seen it before.
Sharon, I begged him not to.
It was an early demo by Wildlife Stroke Wildfire from 1983 of... Shot in the Dark.
A song called A Shot in the Dark.
Yeah. With very much
a chorus
the same,
that went, A Shot in the Dark.
But it, as we said, it was much slinkier, wasn't it? It was much slower.
It was more sort
smoother.
Of a melodic rock.
Yeah,
wasn't
it was a melodic rock version. It had different lyrics. It was still called Shot in the Dark, but it had different lyrics to the Aussie version.
Were they all different lyrics?
Yeah,
because the Aussie chorus goes, Shot in the Dark. One step away from you. But the demo goes, One Night in Heaven with You,
yeah,
or something like that.
So they're kind of the same but different. So we had a debate about that and who should have the rock, because the song had always been disputed. The authorship of the song had always been disputed. Obviously, Phil Soussan was the link who took it to Ozzy, because he joined Ozzy's band for the Ultimate Sin record. Shot in the Dark,
which
was the big hit.
From that album, yeah.
From that album. It's since been removed, as we discovered, from that album, because there's disputes over...
Really?
You were the one that told me that. Really like talking... It's like going back into the care home week after week and explaining
happened. No. You're talking about a podcast we did, you know, a while ago. What we're doing right now, I won't remember that.
No, you
later.
Obviously won't. No, because, and you were the one that said it got taken off the album, which it transpires it did in later pressings of the album. Shot in the Dark is not on there.
Mm. Well, it's on there on Spotify.
Right. Okay. Well, maybe it's come back. I don't. This is. I'm just telling
you
what
you
said.
What I said.
You said go and have a go while I talk. You go on Wikipedia. Look up the Ultimate Sin.
Oh,
you
absolutely.
There were a series of pressings of the Ultimate Sin in post sort of 86 that didn't feature Shot in the Dark. Maybe it's now back on there. Whatever. And then it was credited to Phil Soussan as the writer and to Ozzy Osbourne as the other writer.
Right.
We had a debate about that and the fact that the Overlands weren't credited as writers. There was an interview I found from Steve Overland in 2015 where he said he had co-written the song with Phil Soussan and with Chris Overland. So anyway, that was where we were with this thing. And we were questioning who should have... How are credits given for a song? How should they be given? Who gets what? And it's a very difficult part of the sort of creative process. How do you decide who gets what and who did what?
Okay, well, according to Wikipedia, which, as everyone knows, is totally correct, reliable.
Because you can't go on there and alter that yourself.
God no. God no. I mean, whoever went on my Wikipedia page and proclaimed me the perhaps the greatest writer of my of the 20th century. Yeah. I wish they wouldn't do that. Yeah. I get so much of
I had one of those little brackets underneath had citation needed written in it.
Right, I'll read you the paragraph. Despite being one of Osborne's most successful solo albums, The Ultimate Sin was the only album among Osborne's back catalogue to not be reissued and remastered in 2002. I think this is what you're thinking of, John. Though no official reason was given, rumours circulated that an ongoing legal struggle with bassist/songwriter Phil Soupçon over his song Shot in the Dark was responsible for the album's failure to be reissued. The only available CD version remains the 1995 remastered version, which is missing four measures of music between the first chorus and second verse of Shot in the Dark. Isn't that strange?
Wow, that's very strange.
That is really weird.
It sounds like someone's been on Wikipedia since we last spoke.
Since we last spoke?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to be... This is terrible, isn't it? It's like those YouTube things my kids watch where it's some complete fucking psycho in the corner. You see him and he's just screaming and ranting about some video he's watching.
Right. Bit like that, yeah.
Tune into us and hear me reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, it's great.
You can't get that anywhere
else. It could be a project for you. You could read out the whole of Wikipedia. Just start from the A's.
Do you know, that's a good idea. We could call it Mickeypedia. Yeah. There you go.
Mickey Readia.
Or Johnny Mickey, Interrupters.
Mickey Readia, Wikipedia. No, I'm out of this one. I don't want a piece of that.
Wow.
So anyway, wow. I was still intrigued by this. So I went,
of course, and you were.
And I did a bit of Googling or YouTubing, whatever it was.
Deep research.
Yeah, deep research, and found an interview with Phil Soupçon from only 6 months ago, and he was on tremendously perky form. He's looking really. He looked really good.
Good looking guy. Us good looking guys.
He now looks like the kind of guy who was. Who would turn up in a soap opera and
as know, a rock person.
Or steal the wife of the leading character. You know, he's that kind of, good looking older roué, as they used to call him.
Or maybe an older vampire or something.
Yeah, something like that. But so, and he was talking about Shot in the Dark, because obviously it still must be a bone of contention. And so there was more information. It was really interesting. What he said was he originally wrote the song on piano. He came up with the chords. He said he was listening to not someone I really know, but he said he was listening to a lot of Al Jarreau. You know Al Jarreau?
I love Al Jarreau.
Oh, there you go. Well, you and Phil would get on, because he loves Al Jarreau.
His first album was I went to see him at Ronnie Scott's this is 76, my friend.
Right.
Hardcore
Al Jarreau.
Yeah.
So he said that he just took some sort of Al Jarreau type chords and put them into a rock context. Ooh. And that was how the song started. It started on piano, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Wow.
And he said then what happened, he was in this band Wildlife/Wildfire. He called them Wildlife, so I think that's what he...
I think he would probably know.
That's how he remembers it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm with him on that.
But yeah, so I think they were called Wildlife. And he said he took the song to them, and they did a version. He said the other...
To Overland.
Yeah, to Wildlife. To Wildlife.
Right, right.
Yeah. And he didn't mention the Overlands by name, but he said... the guys in the band didn't like the lyrics, so they did their own lyrics and they recorded a version of it.
And that's the one we heard.
Which was the one we heard. And he said that didn't, the band didn't really go anywhere. The band broke up. He went to Ozzy and he was quite funny. He said, Ozzy was, they were trying to get songs for The Ultimate Sin. And he said, they asked everybody. They're asking outside writers. And he said, finally, they asked the two new guys in the band, who were him and Randy Castillo.
Right. Right.
And he said, Randy Castillo doesn't really write. He didn't have anything. But Phil said, I've got three songs that I've had knocking around for a while, one of which was shot in the dark. So I think maybe what happened was he went back to his original version of Shot in the Dark, which is where the changed lyrics came from.
Right.
Because, as you said, the Wildlife version had lyrics that had been altered.
Right.
Didn't say anything about the melodies or anything like that. He'd written the original chords. How much was then rewritten, don't really know.
You mean by Ozzy?
No, by the Wildlife version. Oh, how much they changed what he'd originally done.
Oh, I see what you mean, right.
To fit with them. But he then took, I think, what he'd originally done
to
and
Ozzy.
Gave it to Ozzy, who did their version of it with Jakey Lee.
Well, Ozzy obviously would have,
Ozzy would have
contributed his own.
Which probably amounted to something like, yeah, that sounds all right, yeah.
And fucking hell, Sharon!
Actually, I then found another YouTube clip of Phil Suzanne a little bit earlier, where he was doing a sort of bass masterclass thing, where there's a lot of this on YouTube for musicians, where they'll play along with something and then they'll tell you how they played it. So if you're playing it in your covers band or whatever, you know exactly
how to do. It was played.
So he's explaining all this and he's playing along with it on bass, and he was playing the track in the background, so I could hear the lyrics.
What, a Shot in the Dark?
Yeah, so I actually hearing the Aussie version singing it, and the lyrics are quite a lot different. They're not sort of particularly similar. It's a lot more kind of creepy and, you know, Aussie-ish. You know, it's, I'm out in the street, I'm stalking the night, I can hear heavy breathing and all, paid for the kill and all. So it was actually quite different to the Overland version. Huh. So whether this now, that you've now got a song which was originally come up with by Phil Suzanne on piano.
Which was originally come up by Al Jarreau in 1976.
Yeah, Phil Suzanne does his rock bit, you know. Then it goes into one band, gets done one way. It comes back out of that band. The original version goes into another band, gets done another. And then you're left thinking, well, you know, this is just a huge kind of
Trigger's Broom.
That
show Only Fools and Horses. Trigger, the road sweeper. And he's called Trigger because he's not that fast on joining the dots, shall we say. And he's boasting about he's been using the same broom for 20 years. And they were like, that's amazing. You would have thought by now. He said, well, I have had to change the head. And they've gone, oh, right. How many times have you done it? Oh, only 5 or 6 times. And okay, I suppose that's... He goes, and the handle, of course, that's broken a couple of... So they're like, oh, I think this is Trigger's Broom.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's a bit like that. So obviously, you know, Phil Suzanne wrote it originally, but it's gone through all these evolutions. The version that everybody knows is the Aussie version, and that's the kind of disputed.
Maybe Al Jarreau should do his version.
Yeah. But it'll be slinky, you know.
I tell you what, Al Jarreau, yes, but on his first album, he was powerful, full of. There was just him, a piano, a bass, and a drum. No guitars, no nothing. But he would do it with his vocals. Like there was a track called "You Don't See Me." That's like "Stairway to Heaven" on the album.
Yeah,
and it begins with him going. You don't see me. And it becomes, a little better than that, actually.
Yeah, amazingly.
Very percussive, and then the bang comes. It's like a whirlwind.
Right, yeah, wow.
Shot in the dark.
Wow, yeah, shot in the dark, man. Shot in the dark. One step away from you. Do it like that, Ozzy. So the Shot in the Dark story is evolving. So that's all I can say.
It's a never ending.
Need to get Mr. Phil Suzanne along.
Because
he sounds like a man. He's got stories to tell.
Let's get him on the pod, John. Let's get him on the pod with all the others.
If you're listening, give us a call, buddy.
Yeah, and make sure Sharon gets his number, not mine. Now, listen, I got something to talk to you about, pal. Okay, talking about a couple of pods ago.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You were going on and on and on about how amazing this video clip you sent me of AC/DC.
Oh right, the one that had no sound on it.
The one that had no sound.
You said, "Oh, I've watched it. Yeah, I've watched it, but it didn't have any sound on."
That's right. This is the one you. So you were telling me as this big screen, and there's this train
rushing towards you through the desert. And I also sent you one with James and Kirk from Metallica headbanging.
Yes. Well,
and then you said that didn't have any sound on it either.
Yeah. Well.
So it's like the whole gig in the desert was actually performed silently.
Listen, I emailed Mutt. I said, "Look, I know you're probably busy, but for fuck's sake, you know, this will take
sort
you 2 minutes.
Sound out." Mutt, of course, the man who produced Back in Black.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, there's the link.
Why
straight
you,
away.
Why else would I go
yeah,
to
yeah.
it? You know. So we did a bit together, you know, shoulder to shoulder. You know, we were at the desk and we were able to retrieve that sound. So here's what I wanted to say to you. Two things.
Okay, here we go.
Number one, there's no train. It's a car. It's a
is
car
it a car?
Drive. How, you don't know the difference between a car and a train.
I mean, to be honest, I was for the readers. I was trying to make it sound interesting. I didn't bother watching.
Oh, you mean in the actuality? Yeah. You didn't know what you were actually talking about.
No, I watched it very briefly, and I thought that'll be something to talk about. I'll cut it off now. I'll just press stop now.
Wow.
Because honestly, do you want to see how many versions of AC/DC do you want to see?
Well,
the only thing I was watching to see was Angus if he had his school uniform on.
And you know he does.
Which he did.
Well, this is now going to link to new information.
Readers, hey, guess what? It was a car, not a train. Oh my God, that'll get the pod figures up when they realise that.
Pod figures?
Yeah.
I don't do this for the money. I'm all
the
about...
S-E-K or whatever it was you got.
I still haven't S-K
not.
I was trying to figure it out. 37 quid.
I saw a big headline on the paper somewhere. It was a load of Sunderland fans. You know, you've got Sunderland and Newcastle, the big football rivalry. Yeah.
Yes.
So there's Sunderland fans holding up a banner that said, "We would never take Saudi money." And I said, "Well, I would."
I'll tell you what.
Because Newcastle, of course, have taken over.
Yeah, so have we.
Yeah.
We're about to be, hopefully.
The Saudis are saying, right, we've done football, we've done golf. What are we getting to next?
Pods.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
particularly
right.
Obscure.
Sheikh Mohammed, Alabama. If you want to get
that'll do it. That'll do it.
Sheikh Mohammed, Ramalama Ding Dong, if you are listening.
This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, carry on.
Yeah. So, that phrase, Saudi money, has grown out of all proportion. On Twitter, now known as Twitter, there's a guy who's a regular follower. You might know him because you're a former Guardian alumni. His name's John Bruin.
Right, yes.
Do you know John?
I do. Well, I know his name. I don't know him.
All right. Well, he's very good. I
never
like
used
him.
To go to the... I kind of went to the Guardian office about twice, can I say?
Yeah.
In the whole sort of year and a half or whatever it was, I wrote stuff for them. I was on the road, man.
Yeah. Well, do you know how often I went?
I was out there.
Do you know how...
Never, because you weren't in there.
No, fuck all, no. It's a shame I didn't have a friend who was there for like a year and a half that could have like, you know... put me hat in the ring. I really love John, right? I love his writing. He's very funny. His tweets are good. But he tweeted something about Saudi money and poor old Hendo getting it in the back, you know?
Hendo?
Jordan Henderson.
Oh, Jordan. Oh, right, okay.
Oh, sorry. I always call him... I'm like, Jordan. He's like, Hendo. To my pals like you, Nick.
Yeah.
And I say, well, sir, to my pals like you, you know? Fucking, you know, take a powder. So, so he's having a bit of a go, and I was pushing back because, you know, I feel it's a bit unfair to pick on Hendo when they've all got this.
It's like Ronaldo, isn't it? Ronaldo's so deep in Saudi money. Right. I mean, I saw him the other day, and you know who's out there at the moment? Right. Tyson Fury, because he's got a fight on Saturday. He's in the Saudi money. He's going, whoa, we're in Riyadh. We've got, it's coming up. Tyson Fury's 6'9". He's got money going over his head like a tidal wave, mate.
Saudi money.
And Ronaldo's there hugging them all.
Exactly. Yeah, or like all that, you know, like Gary Neville and all these fuckers going out to the World Cup.
Hang on.
Giving it. And then they get there and it's like, no, how many millions? David Beckham. Oh, he's a gay icon. Well, he is, till he's got Saudi money.
No, he wasn't Saudi. He was Qatari money. Oh. You're getting it all wrong. Oh, you don't understand Middle Eastern geopolitics. Qatar and Saudi.
I have a high level of international relations. They're essentially sworn enemies.
Those two. That's why the Qatar World Cup was a big deal, and Beckham was out there spruiking for the Qataris.
Mm.
Not spruking.
What was he doing? Spruking.
Yeah, you know, spruking.
No,
that might be an Australian word. It means like, you know, selling stuff, spruiking, setting it like I would for the Saudi. Saudi stall, what do you want to know? Me, Tyson Fury, Cristiano, Hendo, all of us.
So listen, because of this, me and poor John, not a spat, but a disagreement online. They're horrible, those things. So if you are listening, John, you know, I just
want
to...
I love you, and you're wrong.
You've jumped.
What spat? All you said was,
John,
this guy, John Bruin, he put Saudi money on Twitter.
No, it was
that phrase.
Because he was having a dig at Hendo. And I'm going, well, it's not just Hendo, is it? It's, you know...
Oh, I see. You're trying to present yourself as the voice of reason on Twitter, are you? Every time I see you on Twitter, it's like, God, who's this motherfucking effing C? And there'll be a picture of a politician or something. Oh, he's having another normal afternoon.
Do you know,
if Elon Musk
had bought Twitter 1 year earlier,
yeah,
I would never have been banned.
No, that's
I'd
right.
I'd still have all my thousands
Faculties,
of followers.
Yeah. A tragedy.
Yeah, because these guys say what
tragedy.
I want.
Get as angry as you like, mate. No one cares. Yeah.
It's satire, biting satire. Yeah. Anyway, back to AC/DC.
Yeah.
So, number one, I'm afraid it wasn't a train. I hate to drag it back to this, but it wasn't a train.
Right, okay.
But
it was big, wasn't it? I mean, it was as big as a train.
It was a car. Yeah. Is there a car that's as big as a train?
When they sized it up on that screen.
On the screen.
It was bigger than a car, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it didn't even look like a train. It was a fucking car on a motorway. You don't kind of go, oh, is that a train? It's like watching Formula One going, look at the trains. So anyway, there's that, which, you know, some people might call inconsequential, but I call bullshit.
Yeah. But what did you think of the DC?
I'm going to tell you.
Oh, good, thank you.
Because you mentioned they began with If You Want Blood.
Did I get that right or wrong?
You got that right.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, Jesus Christ. If You Want Blood begins, Dan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is like, brum, 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 bing, ding, 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 brum. It's like,
yeah, but I'm not sure that was an official recording. It was just someone with a cell phone, wasn't it?
Okay. I can live with all that. But then Jono opens his gob to sing the song he never sang in the first place with Bon, who had quite a high register.
Yeah, but you can't say that's like saying, oh, Ronnie Dio opened his mouth to sing War Pigs. I mean, of course he did. He's in fucking Black Sabbath.
You haven't let me finish.
Oh, go on, then.
So Bon begins, If You Want Blood, with you. It's grim. No! Big scream, right?
Right.
Jono's like, it's him and Axel. And then he proceeds to murder the song.
Right.
It's I mean, only Axel could have sung it worse. And I think Axel would have sung it better.
No, I think Paul Stanley could have done recent evidence, could have given it a good go.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, the poor fucker having to sing that song. I mean, he's clearly in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking two things. I'm thinking,
where's the tape?
Where's the tech?
Yeah.
Help a brother out here. Hook a brother up with some tech. You telling me there's no tech?
Yeah.
Not for Jono. He has to keep it all under his hat.
Yeah, he does.
And as John has revealed this week in an exciting photograph, which I think we need to put up on social media.
You probably do. I did email it to you.
Yeah, I'm not social media.
No, but I mean, that means you could put it...
I should put it up.
Yes, I think you should.
Because you don't know how to use social
media. No, I do know how to use social media, but my commentary on social media at the moment is about the Cricket World Cup.
Oh, is it? Yes. Oh, more important
things. Yes.
That other more important pod. I see. Well, I will put it up, but it's a... Why don't you describe it? Go on, well, it's fantastic.
Revealing. Yeah, it was a snapshot of Jono on stage.
A revealing moment in time.
Going back to Benny Hill, it would have been accompanied by one of those sounds. You know when they used to put a bicycle pump backwards and it used to go whoop. Imagine that sound instead of "If You Want Blood." Angus has stopped playing, and the out of the huge screen, the sound whoop has come. And Jono, as he's gone to sing, his cap, the famous cap, has come forward off his head and it's tumbling down in front of him.
Yeah.
Just as the photographer has hit the shutter.
Yeah. The photo that photographers have been waiting to take for 43 years.
This is like being at Heavy Metal's Dealey Plaza and getting a shot of the book depository, and you've got Lee Harvey Oswald out there going, "Die, motherfucker," with the gun. You know, it's like you've got that shot. You've got it, man. If you want blood, if you want, you got it. Because then, of course, the secret is revealed. I mean, it's like...
Well, before you reveal the secret, can we just set the scene? I mean... Jono.
Sorry, I thought I had just set the scene.
Well, I'm adding a little context. Jono, ever since he joined AC/DC, has had like a flat cat.
Andy Cat. Presumably he's had it before then.
No, when he was a singer in Geordie, there was no cat.
Why, man?
Because he had big long hair. Like it was the early 73, 74. And it's just, you know.
I mean, no, let's be honest, that was a long time ago, 73, isn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's like that fact that I think, you know, you go back to albums released around that time. It's one of my little facts. I think the first Black Sabbath album is now as close in time to the end of the First World War as it is to today.
Hang on, say that again. I wasn't listening. Go on.
The first Black Sabbath album is as close in time to the end of the First World War as it is to today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like, wow. So 73 is a long time ago, man. Yeah.
So he was in Geordie and he had loads of hair.
Yeah.
And then just 6 or 7 years later...
Can you tell us, Mick, what year he joined AC/DC, please?
1980.
Right. Also a long time ago.
And of course, you know what song he sang at his audition with AC/DC?
No, I don't. I don't know any of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Nutbush City Limits.
Did he? What, Angus Young played Nutbush City Limits?
Yes, the whole band.
Or was it like the X Factor again? What song are you going to do for us today? Oh, I'm going to do Nutbush City Limits.
No, what he said was, "Oh, you want Nutbush?
Schoolhouse Outhouse."
They call it Nutbush.
Yeah.
Nutbush.
Did he change?
They call it not City Limits.
Newcastle City Limits. That's what I
call it. Geordie on the Rise.
Yeah.
So he's saying that. He got the job, obviously. But he's wearing the cap. Now, in the 80s, I think in Kerrang! Magazine, John, you'll recall, we revealed that the reason Jono used to wear the cap wasn't because he was bald. Just to keep the sweat out of his eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Just to keep the sweat out of his eyes.
Yeah.
However...
But we did used to, and in fairness to John, we did used to reveal which people were bald in Kerrang.
Every week we'd have syrup of the week.
So the true baldies were exposed.
Relentlessly. Yeah. I got in more trouble for that than almost anything I ever wrote. I remember when we did Greg Bissonette. He was Dave Lee Roth's drummer at the time.
Yeah.
And Arlette was... a friend in LA was telling me...
It definitely wasn't Arlette.
No. She was telling me, so upset, but the tears are rolling down my face. Because, you know... like 10 years before David Lee Roth, you know, Greg had been in some, you know, jazz rock ensemble with a moustache and a fucking bald Bobby Charlton on his head, you know. And now here he's in David Lee Roth.
Suddenly got hair like a city. Yeah.
And she said he was on the beach relaxing with his bird.
When his hair blew off.
No, when a kid came over. Over and goes, Greg, have you seen this?
Oh, man.
I didn't know you were a baldy fucker. You know, I know those are exact words, but he's like, Greg, look. And Greg's like, oh, okay. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you know, another great. And apparently just, it was, really upsetting.
Yeah, it is very upsetting. It's like when
I was being like, who does that stuff?
It rebounded on you when you were at that gig where the girl was, hey, man.
Oh, which we are going to talk about again.
Hey, dude, you're receding.
Well, you know, you've cut me to the quick.
Yeah, I have, yeah.
You've cut me to the quick.
But anyway, so Jono, but as you say, Jono was not exposed in Syrup of the Week because the reason he wore the hat
was
merely to keep the sweat
out of his eyes. Keep my sweat
out of his.
But now, John, you have exclusively revealed.
Well, the photographer, I mean, I kudos to whoever took that picture because they just
But you're the one that
like,
widely
they got,
disseminated it on the internet.
Well,
aren't
I emailed
you?
It to you, yeah. But he just, I mean, it's like one of those things where you just hit the shutter at the perfect moment. The cap has tumbled over in the air and he's just down at sort of mic stand level.
Yeah.
You can see all of Jono's face slightly in shock because suddenly
panic.
Man, the cap's off, man. Sweat's pouring into his face.
What an A's? In the A's?
That's right. And then we get the reveal of what all these years has been under the cap.
And what is it?
What do you think it was?
Go on, have a go.
Well, I think in the email to you, I put something along the lines of, at least the hair wasn't attached to the cap. Which would have been a terrible... But should we say it was longer at the sides than it was at the top? Should we say that?
Do you know what I thought? And I thought it looking at it, and then when I heard him trying to sing If You Want Blood... It came to me. Do you know who he is? He's Krusty the Clown.
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know Krusty the Clown?
No.
You've never watched The Simpsons?
No, I don't like The Simpsons. It annoys me.
So you don't know who Krusty the Clown is? No. Oh, for fuck's sake. You don't know? You're lying.
I'm not lying.
So you don't know
I don't like The Simpsons.
You don't know Krusty talks like that.
I don't know anything
and
about
The Simpsons.
And he's got,
like, big bits at the side and nothing on top.
Right, right.
You don't know Krusty the Clown. I find this very... Listen, everybody. Readers, help poor Johnny out. And send him pictures.
Yeah, send me a picture of Krusty the Clown.
Krusty the Clown.
Yeah.
Because he...
The only thing I know about The Simpsons is that Derek Smalls does all the voices. And he's a multi-trillionaire. There you go. You know he's got Saudi... Saudi money is Harry Shearer. He's got Saudi money. Not
there
literal
is
Saudi.
Krusty the Clown.
Oh, he's showing...
Okay.
It was a bit like that.
Are you telling me that isn't
that
Brian
is a bit
Johnson?
What it was like.
But if you... I'm going to get his voice up.
Realistically, it wasn't green. That's what I will say.
Hang on. There's a picture of Krusty the Clown here without makeup. Right, here we go. This is Krusty the Clown laughing. This is interesting stuff. Oh, no, it's an ad. No, fucking ads. God. All right, this okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How do I stop this, Fern?